Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There is no better group of plants for flower power than forms of the shrubby potentilla.
Hello and welcome to This Week in the Garden. I'm Peter Seabrook, here to help with some of your gardening quandaries. There are many routes into the gardening industry, including public relations. And my guest this week is one of the most experienced in the PR world, and a very keen gardener as well. It's Graham Paskett. My thanks to Thompson & Morgan, sponsors of this podcast. I hope you had a very happy Christmas. Most of us had the family together, and certainly that was the case with our family. A very nice Christmas day, and usually I spend an hour or two digging either Christmas morning or Boxing morning, but the weather really wasn't conducive to that this year. Really mild and damp. I mean, it rained a lot with us on Christmas Day. Boxing Day was a little better, but then, of course, it went really cold and then it turned wet. So keep my fingers crossed for the new year. There are, of course, signs of spring. I've got two or three little pots of snowdrops and they're just nicely flowering. And I noticed, too, this morning, the first of the iris, Iris unguicularis. It's a really strange plant, that. It wants to be kept really hard. If you've got a fairly warm, sheltered position, say a south-facing wall against the house where it's got quite a lot of gravel and free-draining situation, then Iris unguicularis grows quite well in those situations. And at this time of the year, then you'll see those perfect blue flowers popping up and opening. Sure sign of spring on its way. This week I have some very exciting news. Some people say you're always on about new things, but we've just had announced a brilliant new sunflower called Sunbelievable. And it's very well named. I tell you, it is Sunbelievable. Bred by Thompson & Morgan, Charles, their plant breeder, has been working for 7 or 8 years on it. And this is a really remarkable thing. It has a sunflower-like flower, yes, but it would be, I suppose, 2.5 or 3 inches across. And it starts flowering in mid-late May, and in my garden, carried on flowering until November. Now, unlike most sunflowers, it's not raised from seeds, it's raised from cuttings. And I took a cutting or two from my plant in late summer, early autumn, and there it is, sitting on the windowsill indoors now and still flowering. What sunflower do you have that's still flowering in December? Well, it looks as if it's going to flower pretty well year-round. I hope we'll get an offer for it for readers in the paper so that you can be the first to grow it. It's a fantastic thing. Once you've got that either planted in the garden or in a pretty big pot and kept well fed and watered, I can tell you, as the months go by, it just gets bigger and better and has more flowers. Sunbelievable, without question. When it comes to jobs to do, if the weather's not really cold and freezing, then it's quite a useful thing to get on with pruning. I've just been pruning a row of cordon-trained soft fruits. There's just a little narrow border, can't be more than 12 inches wide, I suppose, that I've planted with red currants and gooseberries. Most of them are grown up a single trunk as cordons, but there is one 6-foot fence panel that has a fan-trained red currant. And then that has, instead of one stem, it has branches in a fan, but each of those branches are pruned in the same way. in the summer, all the side shoots are cut back so that they have six leaves. And then at this time of the year, those sort of 6 to 9 inch long shoots are pruned back just to an inch or two. That forms little spurs, so we have a column of growth, and they can really crop quite heavily. Now, the beauty of growing cordon and fan train soft fruit against a fence is that when they get to a fruit ripening stage, you can fix a net on the top of the fence and just drop it over. A very quick and easy way to protect them. We've just done a short video on how to do this. And so if you go on to sungardening.co.uk and get down onto the videos, you can see just how we're shaping and pruning these cordon and fan-trained soft fruits. Now, there are times in my job when I need the help of a public relations person. I mean, they're rather like a go-between, I suppose, between companies in the gardening and horticultural business and the general public, feeding information to people like me. And one rather very special fellow is Mr. Graham Paskett. Now, he's been in public relations, well, longer than I can remember, I think. Graham, how long have you been in this business?
41 years, Peter.
So there
in
you
PR,
are.
Yeah. Okay. No, I was in journalism before that.
And is that how you get into public relations then?
Well, I did. I mean, a lot of people, I mean, traditionally it was the route. I mean, I trained on a weekly newspaper in Coventry called the Coventry Standard. In those days, you did a proper indentured apprenticeship and all the rest of it. When I finished my indentures, I stayed a little longer. Then I moved to a couple of other papers and I ended up on the Telegraph, which was a morning paper in Sheffield. And then I moved into PR in 1968, a long time ago.
But then how do you get the contacts? I carry a little book in my pocket with all kinds of phone numbers, which help me on countless occasions. You know, if somebody phones on a Sunday, wants a comment for a newspaper, and if I don't know the answer, then there's somebody in that little book.
I think we're all the same, aren't we, really? I mean, you know, I'm a very, very keen gardener. Quite regularly, I you know, have problems, and I phone you or various other mates in the industry who always give me the best advice on what I have to do with X, Y, and Z.
We're dinosaurs, really, aren't we? I mean, me with my little book. People have these electronic phones now with everything on the phone, and then they drop the phone and they're in a terrible...
Exactly. I tell you what makes me laugh is you go to meetings and people have electronic diaries, and I have my old paper diary, and which I always do in pencil so I can rub things out and move things around. And, you know, we say, why don't you have a meeting? And I'm there in seconds. 5 minutes later, they're still trying to work out which page they're on. It's progress, I suppose, Peter.
But Graham, you know, to come back to the job in hand.
Yes.
How many companies currently are you sort of working on behalf?
We work with a lot of companies. I mean, the ones the listeners are most likely to know are the Hilliers. We do all the Hillier work for their Chelsea exhibition. And this year we're after our 73rd consecutive gold medal, which is very exciting. And we also do the PR for their garden centres. We handle the work for Wilkinson Sword and Hempton and Chattel, who've got the Cobra range, and the Posh Shed Company. One of the really exciting ones at the moment is BASF and nematodes. Because, you know, nematode slug control is now about 25% of the market, and people still don't know what it is.
So you've got quite a job there to inform people like me in the hope that we will then in turn...
Yes.
Inform the general public.
Absolutely right. We launched a product back in April, if you remember, down at the Chelsea, the Physic Garden in Chelsea. The noise-reducing fence panel for Forest Garden.
Yeah.
Now, you all very generously wrote lots of copy about us and we got lots of inquiries.
But, I mean, that was quite a story, wasn't it?
Oh, yes.
It was... really new, hadn't really thought seriously about it, and it actually worked.
Yes, that's a great thing, isn't it? And we demonstrated how it worked. Like you, Peter, I trained in newspapers, not in horticulture, but as a consequence, one has a natural built-in cynicism.
And then the nematodes from BASF, I mean, the tremendous development there is that they will actually store a bit, won't they?
Yes. The way to use them is to use them as fresh as you can. And so the way that you can only buy them from BASF at the moment online, because they have to be fresh, and you can keep them in the fridge for quite a few weeks and then use them. And then they are absolutely superb. I've got a little experiment going this year. You know, one of the favourite foods of slugs is hosta.
Yes.
Well, I'm growing a hosta bed. I got quite a big vegetable cage. One corner is going to be treated with the nematodes, and the other corner is not going to be treated at all. And it's going to be interesting to see what they look like by what, June time? June, July?
But I mean, you're unusual in that here you are, a PR man, actually talking about gardening.
I mean,
it's unusual to find someone who not only acts as a go-between, but actually gets their hands dirty at the weekend.
We've got 4 acres here in Staffordshire, and it's non-stop. Winter time is it's not as busy as the spring, of course, because, you know, the mowing in the summer, because, you know, we finish mowing now, by and large. But today, for example, I've been potting on, 12 trees that I got. What I'm trying to do, I don't know whether I told you this, I'm trying to, you know, there are 32 native UK trees.
I didn't know that.
Well, there are, apparently.
I haven't stopped and counted them.
Right. Anyway, there are 32, and I have got 14 already growing in the garden. So I went to my friends at Hillier, and they provided me with 12, and I've been potting those on today. And because it's so cold up here, my greenhouse isn't heated, and so I put them in the greenhouse for the time being. You know, we've got about 4 inches of snow here.
I'm afraid we could cap that. It's been pretty messy, I'll tell you.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
But it's quite fun, you know. I love gardening. And, of course, if you love something, you can talk about it sensibly, can't you?
Without question, yes. Mm. And you need some experience, you know. We need, I think, at least 7 or 8 years experience, so that we've had a cold winter and a mild winter, a wet winter and a dry winter, and the same with the spring and the summer and the autumn. You need several years under your belt to really know what's going on.
Well, I think I've been gardening nearly 60. Or over 60, I should think.
Yeah. And so we pick up, don't we?
Oh, of course you do. Hey, my grandfather taught me, and father was in the services, and he was a keen gardener as well. So, you know, it's in the blood. And my daughter's very keen gardener, Emma. Yes, it does. It takes time.
Yeah, my two children both have allotments.
Mm.
And I think that, you know, over the dining table, as youngsters, they just imbibe it, don't they?
Yeah, that's right.
and out it comes, yeah.
The children always used to say, I've got a son who's not quite so keen on gardening, but they used to say, oh, Dad, not another garden centre again. And now you talk to Emma and you say, what are you doing, Dad? I'm just off to the garden centre.
Because it is becoming quite fashionable and popular again for younger people, isn't it?
Well, it is, particularly vegetable gardening, isn't it? You know, I think it's knowing the provenance of what you're eating. That's part of it, I think.
And then the interest in succulents and the whole houseplant thing is coming back, isn't it?
Yeah, they are, aren't they, this year? It's the big thing, isn't it, now, houseplants? I'm not so clever on houseplants, I have to admit. I'm more an outdoor bloke.
But you must be pretty good on mowers, you know.
Yes, because I have got a few to choose from, yes.
Well, and I think we first met with Qualcost.
We did, at Qualcost, that's right.
Yeah.
That must be, 25 years ago? At least 25 years ago,
I think. More than that, I think.
Probably.
We had a silver one for their 25th anniversary.
You did, and a golden one. Do you remember?
Yes. I wonder where they are now.
One's up at the Lawnmower Museum, isn't it, in Preston?
Yes. So at least there's one.
There's one of them there.
Knocking about. And the chances are there are others knocking about.
I'm sure there are, Because I think we gave you the number one in both, didn't we?
You did.
And then we ran a competition, so the Sun Readers somewhere have got these lovely old mowers, haven't they?
They have indeed. Yes, I mustn't mention that I still push a Ransom Ajax.
No, you mustn't.
Not a quarter.
But of course, the big thing now is battery technology. Have you used a battery mower?
No.
Well, I'll tell you a story. We do the PR for Wilkinson Sword and Wolfgarten, and they have battery-powered lawnmowers. And Cobra, which is the Henton and Chattel range, they also have these lithium-ion battery-powered lawnmowers. And my wife clearly has no confidence in my technical ability, because I came home with one and she said, you'll never work that out. But I said, oh, you mean just slipping a battery in? Anyway, about 5 minutes later, she came out and she said, see, I told you you couldn't work it out. I said, darling, it's working. Because she's used to a good old Briggs & Stratton engine, P petrol engine, and you know they are a little more noisy.
Yeah.
And this thing is very quiet, but they do cut now. You know, the modern battery technology is good.
And do you need to adjust the model to the size of your lawn?
Yes.
You mentioned 4 acres of garden. That's pretty exceptional now in my world of operation. You know, I've got 2 lawns. They're about 30 foot by 40 foot, and that's quite big by today's
standards. Oh, yeah. I mean, the average garden now is 15 square metres, isn't it?
So you need a mower that's almost like a Hoover, don't you?
Well, you do. I mean, to be perfectly frank, on the big lawns here, I use a ride-on, a petrol ride-on. But for the other lawns, we use battery for the small ones.
And what sort of hours or time have you got from a full charge?
Well, on the Cobra one, we get about 35, 40 minutes. So if you've got 2 batteries, you've got perpetual mowing. You know, because when one runs out, you go and pick the other one up and keep them on charge and you can just keep going.
Oh, I hadn't thought about that. So
yeah,
you just swap them over.
Well, I really do think, I mean, we're going to have petrol engines around for years because there must be millions of Briggs & Stratton engines out there in the marketplace. And they'll go on for years. But the old petrol is, I think, probably with the exception of bigger areas, is going to take over.
Yeah, because
within the next 2 or 3 years, I mean, 4 or 5 years.
I was speaking recently on our podcast about Husqvarna.
Yeah.
That they've got a video which shows 6 or 8 of their robotic mowers fitted on a drone. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Oh, really?
A drone goes out first of all and surveys, say, the lawn on a roundabout and the lawn on a roof garden, and then it comes back and feeds into the bigger drone the information, and the drone then, the second one, takes off with its mowers and drops on out of the sky onto the lawn. And
how brilliant!
Yeah, and they say in 10 years' time that's the way that we'll cut grass. And of course, you know, in health and safety terms, you haven't got anybody loading and offloading mowers.
I don't know about you, though. I find cutting grass quite therapeutic.
Oh, goodness, it keeps me fit.
Absolutely. It keeps you fit and it keeps you mind. And you see all the corners of the garden, don't you?
I mean, you're riding on yours.
Yeah,
I mean,
but only some of them. I've got a hand mower. I've got a hand mower because we've got a little walled garden here. And I got a hand mower, Peter.
Yeah, right.
An old cork cast, Panther.
Graham, it's great talking to you.
Okay.
We must keep in touch. But I do thank you for the help and support you've given us over the years.
Thank you for all of yours, Peter, as well.
We'll speak soon.
We will. Take care.
It was a sigh of relief to get those poinsettias delivered to schools, and that fall of snow just didn't make life much easier for us. But there's been several emails come through since. One came from Lorraine Abram up in Glasgow. She says in an email to me that how pleased they were to receive their little poinsettia plants, and when the choir from St Timothy's School went out to 2 of the local residential homes, that there were tears of joy in the eyes of some of those elderly people when the choir sang Christmas songs and then came up afterwards and gave all of the residents a poinsettia. So there was a really nice Christmas activity for young and old. And let's hope we can remember both young and old in the new year that's just setting its course now. Thanks again to our sponsor, Thompson & Morgan. And thanks to you for listening. Enjoy your garden. We'll be back next Thursday. You can discover more at sungardening.co.uk.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.